Well, good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can pray to you, and many are few, Lord, that you are in our midst. You hear the prayers of the people, Lord, and I just pray as we spend these moments today in prayer that you would be honored, you would be glorified, and our prayers and supplications would be made in your name because they're in accordance with your will. And as we look at a prayer in the Bible this morning, Lord, just guide us and lead us to glean from what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always good, I believe, to look at the prayers in the Bible, and there's always so much to learn from each one of them. And this morning, I thought we would take a look at a prayer of David regarding the city of Keilah. And on your notes, there is a little map there that just to ground us a little bit where we are. David went over to Gath, and then Achish recognized who he was, and he got scared, and he left. And he went down to the caves of Adullam there. As you see, Adullam is almost in the middle of the map there. And then he was there in that stronghold, and then he left and went on down into the forest of Hereth. And then Gad told him, don't stay in the stronghold. You need to go into the country of Judah. Now Saul is trying to kill him, and he's trying to track him down, and so David is fleeing. Now, in the cave of Adullam, we see 400 men. They were men of discontent. That would be quite a group, right? But 400 discontented men gathered and were with him, and by the time we're in today's study, he'll have 600 men have joined him. So how would you like to hide 400 to 600 men from somebody who's trying to find you and kill you? Very difficult. But the Lord is protecting him. You know he's anointed. He will be king, but he's not king yet. And it's amazing when we see somebody so chosen by God, somebody so will in the will of God, actually just on the edge of death for a period of time in these years of being pursued. So we see now that somebody brings word to him in chapter 23. And it says, then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floor. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? He's not king. Saul is king. But Saul could care less about enemies coming against Israel. The only thing he cares about is killing David. And so David now gets the call that a king should normally get to protect Keilah. And David is fleeing for his life and in constant danger. And so we read then a very important thing. If you're fleeing for your life and in great danger, but you get a command, or you're not a command, but you hear of something that you know you really should probably jump in and save the people of Keilah if it's the Lord's will. So he then, we have him inquiring today or praying today. Two times, and the second time he'll pray two separate parts of the prayer. But here in verse 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack the Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. So here again we have another application in a way for us. When we're in the Lord's will and he says, I will give you victory, we still have to go and fight the battle. He doesn't just say, okay, you've got it, you prayed, now you don't have to do anything. But we have to have action. We have to have action to follow up on our prayer. So in verse 2 then, he prays to the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah? And so the Lord says yes. So now he's ready to go. But boom, all of a sudden his men say, wait a minute, boss. We don't want to go inside of a walled city. We would be easy prey for Saul. All he has to do is seal the city and put it under siege, and we're cooked. We couldn't get out. They said, we're afraid in Judah. How much more if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Now, if your 400 men are afraid, that's not a very good time to go fight, is it? I don't think so. So David prays again. Verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And here, of course, we have David has got to go fight. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines struck them with a mighty blow and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And now we have Abiathar, one of the priests who escaped when Saul killed 80 priests up at Nob. And he came and joined David, and he brought the ephod with him, which would have the Urim and the Thummim in it probably. And this is probably how David is praying parts of these times anyway. Saul was told then that David had gone to Keilah. You know, the people are always tattling to Saul. They want to curry his favor, and yet Saul doesn't care about him. He wants to reward him, and anybody who's against him or against anything to try to protect David, he's killing them all. So he's somebody to be feared, I'm sure. And he says, God has delivered him into my hand. Well, you know, Saul is not a godly king. He likes to call on the Lord, and he likes to make these pronouncements that, you know, God has done this, God has done that. Well, he's wrong. God has not delivered him into his hand. God will protect him. But Saul thinks, you know, now I've got him. So he called all the people together for war. Now, not against the Midianites, not against the Philistines, not against the enemies of Israel. He's going to go to war against David. Isn't that something? How often we may be fighting the battles against the wrong enemy. We go after somebody we don't like when that's not the enemy. The enemy is the evil one and the workers of iniquity. Verse 9, when David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. And now David says again, O Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. So first prayer request, will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will, second question, will Saul come down as your servant has said? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. David calls out to the Lord of Israel, Lord God of Israel, twice here, right in these two verses. He's also continually using his term as servant to the Lord. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, and that's where we have them going from 400 to 600, or at least told that, about 600 arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the disposition. So we'll get into prayer now, but just to reflect on what's happened here, we see in the book of Acts that David is referred to as a man after God's own heart, and we see how humble he is, how he seeks the Lord. That's the humble servant of the Lord. Saul, on the other hand, proud and boastful, all mixed up. He doesn't seek the Lord. He's not with the Lord. He's actually going after the wrong enemy. And he's just so within himself. He can only focus on what he considers to be his enemy. And he tries to dress it up to you know, make it look like God is telling him to do these things and all, or God is for him. But we know better. Is your heart more like David's? That's the spirit side. Or is your heart a lot of Saul in it yet, as mine is? That's the flesh side, right? I want to do what the flesh does rather than submit. Particularly when there's a lot of danger. It's pretty easy to trust the Lord when there's no danger. When it's, I'll do the Lord's will, that's fine. But when it may cost you your life, when it may cost your life of 600 or 400 other people, that's a heavy one, isn't it? And you really need to seek him, as David would seek him here more than once in inquiring of the Lord. But he is obedient. He does what the Lord has for him to do. He goes and fights the enemy, and the Lord delivers him into his hands. And then he is given the insight to get out of there and to flee. He'll go back down, up over the hill, up over Hebron, that range that goes up there to Jerusalem. And then he'll go back down into the area of Maon there and to the Ziphites. The Ziphites will later betray him too, and there'll be those things. And then he goes up into En-Gedi. And any of you who have been in that area, you know that it is really rough areas there. I mean, you can have these gigantic canyons, and so you can have two points up here maybe only a quarter of a mile apart. But to get from one to another, you got to go way down and way up again. You're a long way off. So some of these scenes here in 1 Samuel, we'll see where David is on one hill and Saul on the other hill, and they can hear each other talking very easily, but they can't really get to each other that well. Let's go to prayer now. We have much to pray for. We want to pray for the conference. We want to pray for Pastor Brian and others for healing and protection. We want to pray for the body of Christ here and the Middle East and around the world. We want to pray for kings and those under authority. We just want to pray to have hearts open to be obedient to the Lord and then have the will to do what He shows us to do. And anything else that comes on your mind. However, first we'll start out just all this group together and pray loud enough so we can hear you, particularly those in the front so the one in the back can hear and agree. And then the last few minutes we will break into groups of two people, and there we can get into more personal prayers or things that the Lord really lays on your heart. And I think we will close at John 7:30, sound about right?
Yes.
And breakfast is at 8. Breakfast 10:30. Okay, so we'll go to 7:30. Try to stay to 7:30 if you can. If you have to leave, we understand. But we'll close with a song at the end. We've got 45 minutes with about several hours of prayer right there if we all pray at the same time in a way. Response to being led by one Spirit in one accord. So we will be praying together if we're praying as the Spirit is leading us. Lord, thank you for these precious men, and pray that as we inquire of you this morning, even as we have the example in the scriptures of David inquiring, help us, Lord, and lead us now in this time of prayer to pray as you teach us to pray in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, and we do know that the battle belongs to you. Lord, help us to be seeking you, even as David would inquire of you. And help us to follow obediently to what you have for us to do. So guide us this day, and may you be honored and glorified the entire day. Bless our families and those, some are with us, some are not, but just each one. And again, protection against sickness and accident and so forth, Lord. And may we go just deeper with you today as we seek you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen.